Okay, good morning. We continue in the middle of Os Kuf Yud Ches, and middle of number 118 on page Pei Zayin. We're still talking about the idea of anger, and we said a person who can internalize the idea of God's divine supervision in a real way will never come to anger, and on top of that, he'll be happy because he's understanding who's bringing all these activities, which is a loving God. And the tzaddik says, as long as simcha has not filled your entire heart, and certainly if you come to anger, clearly we have to say that this belief in Hashem is not pure and clear the way it should be. So right in the middle of Kuf Yud Ches, Zu Avodas Ha'adam, this is the service of mankind. Lehafnim es hadvorim belibo heitev, to internalize this concept very well. Reishis, first of all, al dei hispanus meruba bidvarim. Number one is through reflecting on this greatly in words. Okay, meaning in this concept. Reflect on this concept a lot. And number two, vishenis al dei diburim rabim. Through saying a lot of words, you have to speak it out. Lachzor uleshanenes advarim b'fiv, to review and repeat these words verbally. Od pam, again and again. Lo melakadosh baruch hu, to say to Hashem, ani odea shata sisas pula plonis. I know you're the one who did this activity. Vani odea shata hoivasi, and I know that you love me. Vani odea shapula su hiat tova gemur, and I know that this activity is a total kind goodness. Zakeni sha'argish es hadvarim. Have the merit that I could feel these words. That's what I need to merit. In other words, I'm having trouble feeling the concept, although I know that the concept is true. That's the thing you gotta daven for when you go through these situations. That you should be able to feel God's love when this happens. And that's how a person has to repeat and speak it out. Verbally, al fei pa'amim, thousands of times. Vaf yeser al kain, and even more than thousands of times. Ad asher yiska lochush hadvarim heitev bepnimius luvavo, until he merits to feel these words so clearly inside his heart. That's what it takes to go over and over and over to get to this level, to feel that it is that way. Now, what happens if you fail? And while we're in the middle of practicing this, we go and get angry. So Kuf Yud Ches 119 deals with that. Avim noval adam v'kas lo yispal mikach. And if a person should fall and make a mistake and get angry, you shouldn't be so misspoiled. You shouldn't be affected by it. It shouldn't get you down. But rather, you should review and implant inside oneself this belief in Hashem. Alfei, alfei pamim, thousands and thousands of times. Hein lifnei shebalav mikrim bilti ne'imim, vein bishas bias mikrim elu. Regardless if it's before the time these unpleasant situations come, or when it's at the time when these unpleasant situations come. So you have to always go over these concepts. V'yachzor v'yashish hadvarim belibo, and repeat and implant these words in his heart. Next page. Peches. Lelo hafuga, without getting it weakening, these words. Ulelo yiush klal minifilos, and without any despair from these fallings. The fact that you make mistakes doesn't mean that you're not improving. And when you review this and review this, even through the stumblings and the fallings, and you don't get overwhelmed by them, Hashem will help him merit to acquire this pure trust in his heart. So the fact that you're making mistakes is not a reason to give up. Doesn't mean you're a failure. You're working on this and you're getting angry. Doesn't mean that there's failure over there. Could be, you know, you get angry every 10 minutes, now you're getting angry every hour. So the fact that you're getting angry, it's part of the program of work. And whenever you work on things, it doesn't always improve immediately, but slowly, slowly. So don't let those mistakes derail your efforts of this ultimate success. Okay, Kuf Chav. Arata biyarnu keitzad l'sakin es hakash yabayde mikro uchadoy meshen yado adam me'urevis bahem. Until now, we've been speaking about repairing the anger that comes through random acts, as it were, where there isn't a person involved in inflicting the suffering upon you. You stubbed your toe on a chair. Your car got a flat tire. Those are inanimate objects creating challenges for you. Ata Bezras Hashem Nidaber Al Kashabo B'Deyarim. Now we're going to talk with God's help through anger that comes through another person causing you to get angry. Klomer, Shehamolid Es Hakasu Adam, the person who spawns the anger, who brings out the situation to get you angry, it's a human being. Kvar Bayarnu Shezu Nekuda Kosha Yoser. We already explained it's a much more difficult thing to control your anger with. Why? Kikasher Ein Yad Adam Nogas Pesiva Sakas, because if there is no human factor involved in bringing the cause of the anger, it's clear you cannot get angry on the rock that fell or get angry at the wheel that broke. What do they do? But the person can be smart enough to understand if he has merited, that's from God's hand. It's easier to see God's hand in that, and it's easier to say, well, I'm getting angry at Hashem. So you can kind of deal with that. Ulam kasher hameinia lekas hu adam. But when the person who is moving and causing the anger is a person, shamnir ladan appears to the victim, shekivin shechavero bal bechira, since his neighbor is a person with free-willed choice, this was not decreed from Hashem. You could mistakenly think that. Right? You're at a simcha and someone has parked in front of your car and it's blocking it from leaving. And they've made an announcement and nobody's coming forth to move that car. Right? Now that person had a free will choice to block my car. Right? And he didn't consider that I may have to leave. That was a chutzpah. A chutzpah, the guy does such a thing, right? And that's free will choice. The person has total free will choice to do this. So one is inclined to think it's that guy who made my life miserable and not Hashem. Okay. Remember, everything we've been working with till now has been saying, went over the points to stop us with anger. So, number one, you gotta know that Hashem does everything. Okay, that was the first point. Hashem does everything. And you know Hashem loves us. And if that's the case, and Hashem knows what's best for us, so Hashem brought it for us, it must be good. But that all works if you understand that Hashem brought it. But people have free will choice. So if the guy has free will choice, Hashem didn't bring it. Right? Remember, now, Shelly, you're going to really have fun with this one.
Already am.
Yeah, I'm saying.
He's still thinking about the simcha.
You're going to really have fun with this because we said that people have choices in Yiras Shamayim and not in mundane things. So if Shelly's maybe at the point by now, okay, if I'm buying the chair, okay, chair in the scope of things isn't that important. Okay, maybe I can understand that Hashem is causing me to make that decision. Okay, it's not such a world, affecting decision. Okay, maybe I could hear God's doing it. But the guy went and double parked in front of my car. Now that is a Yiras Shamayim decision. Absolutely. Even I'm not going to finagle out of that one. It's a Yiras Shamayim decision. He made a Yiras Shamayim decision. So now he got me angry. He did it. It was not Hashem. See, the whole point of not getting angry is knowing it's Hashem who did it. It's Hashem who did it, and Hashem loves me, and Hashem knows what's best for me. So guess what? Hashem will only do what's good for me. So, okay, I can work on that. I have a pathway. But if the guy double parked me, then Hashem didn't do it to me. And if Hashem didn't do it to me, this guy did it to me. And this guy wanted to hurt me. And I'm legitimately angry. So you can see why it is a much more difficult thing to control if somebody else is the source of your anger. Okay, so that's what we're going to deal with this morning. And maybe more than one morning. Right?
How was this guy's decision that you're a minor decision?
Because he sees you're at a simcha and there are cars parked. The guy wants to get park, and there's no other spots. There are other spots, but you have to walk maybe another minute. Another minute, because, instead of, he wants to park really close, and you're parked really close, but there's no parking space, so he just parks right in front of your car. So now you can't leave. Right? So that's a totally Yerushalayim decision. In other words, I have a choice. Should I park further away and walk a minute? Or should I block somebody? Right? Should I hurt somebody to make my life easier? Or should I walk a little longer and not make anybody's life more difficult? Right? That is a Yerushalayim decision. Because that you're doing an Avera. let's pick a more blatant action. You're at a party and the guy insults you in front of the whole shul. He had a free will choice of doing that or not. And he chose to not do it. To do it. It's a free will choice. That's a Yerushalayim decision. It's an Avera. He did an Avera. Plain and simple. I say a gross Avera. He did an Avera to you. You made him a partner in your business. You had Rachmanis on the guy. He was a lo yutzluch. He couldn't succeed in anything. He said, I'm going to do maches. I'm going to make a partner in my business. I'll help him out. And what does he do after 2-3 years? He goes behind your back and takes all your clients away from you and makes his own business and bankrupts you. You're going to get angry at such a guy? Now, who did that? He did it. He chose to do that. Terrible, terrible guy. So how do we deal with this? This is going to be a lot more difficult to explain. So therefore, what's going on over here? It would appear, this appears to be totally dependent on the free will choice of a human being. And therefore, in a normal fashion, he would tend to get angry at his friend, that with his free will choice, he chose to do evil and to hurt him, or similarly. Okay, that's the notes that you have. I haven't had a chance to check over yours, and I know. But anyway, so you'll have to listen. You'll get them tomorrow, Mirz Hashem. Kuf Chav Aleph, 121. So now he's gonna work his way through this. So we're gonna need at least 3 paragraphs to work on this. I know you're not gonna like the answer. Yeshna uvde yedua shoheis b'vezdina shal beis halevi. So the famous story that happened in the court of the Beis Halevi, Rav Yosef Dov Ber Soloveitchik, one of the scions of the Soloveitchik dynasty in Brisk. So he was a judge, a Jewish court of law. One time, the fellow comes to the Beis Halevi with a question, a halacha question, regarding the kosher status of an animal. Place they shechted a cow. He owned the cow. In those days, you owned the cow. He owned the cow. They shechted the cow. A shaila came up as to whether the cow was a treifa or not. And they would bring it to the Beis Halevi to see, is this case, the damage that happened, the internal damage, did it cause the animal to be a treif or not? Upasakla Beis Levi le'isor. The Beis Halevi paskind, he judged it was a treif animal, and the fellow lost hundreds of dollars because of that. It cost $100.
No money back guarantee.
Sovar halo v'kibos et vermedachas. So the fellow accepted the judgment in a pleasant way. He said, okay, that's a law, that's unfortunate. I'm sad I lost the money, but I'm not upset with you, Rabbi. You told me what the truth was. I have to do the truth. I want to eat kosher. So that's the way it is. Alaf ha-nezga kaspi ha-gadol shenigam lo mikach. Even though there was a great financial damage that occurred through the decision of Beis Halevi. He made the decision. Beis Halevi, had the Beis Halevi decided it's kosher, he would have saved hundreds of dollars. The Beis Halevi caused him a loss by his psak, but it was a Torah psak, so how could he get angry? Gam zu l'tov. Lachesman, a little bit later on, Ba'osa plonotin abesa levi ledin tarmereyu. This same fellow comes to another, to Beis Levi again, with a judgment. This time, it's a case of litigation between another person. Whatever the case was, the guy claimed the guy owes him $100, and the guy denied it, and now it's a case of who's right, who's wrong, and who has to pay, who doesn't have to pay. Ula'aka shepasaka Beis Levi as dino shel ploni aniska lel lechova, v'esreyu liskos. So after the Beis Levi rendered his decision in this case, which was the fellow with the animal, he judged him as the guilty party, and the other fellow as the exonerated party. Right? And now that guy has to pay $100 or doesn't get $100, whatever, he loses $100. Ragas halo at milamod. The guy got extremely upset. He was livid. He was mad at the Beis Levi. He's mad at the guy. He was upset with everybody. The Beis Levi is not a judge. He's not a judge cases. He was going nuts. Nope. Socha Beis Levi. So the Beis Levi was saying to himself, he was saying to students, whatever, reflecting on this. Vemran said, isn't this an interesting situation? Sha'af shemish, shemish, alas arishona nizuk ploni yosur min she'alas ha'sheniya. Which case did the guy lose more money? The first Shiloh, the second Shiloh? He lost much more money in the first case because the cow was worth a lot of money. So the financial loss in this second case was much less than the first case. Mikal Makam Rishona lo yalo min lichos. So why is he angry in the second case, not in the first case? Because the answer is, because in the first case he had no one to get angry at. Right? Lahoya Lami Lehisnagedi had no one to contend with. Habahema ain't a bar he snagged the slaughter. An animal is not a litigant against a person. It doesn't contend with you. You can't get angry at the cow. The cow didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, the cow got killed. So who was he angry at? Ulamba Mikra Shani, but in the second case, Yesh Ken Almili Snagi, there is someone to contend with. Lareo to his neighbor, Venotsu Mikachi Yetzir Shemuchama, and from that comes out the Yetzir to get into a fight. Because that guy is causing me a problem. Because that guy was wrong and I was right. So now he gets into an explaining what's going on here. Kuf Chof Beis. Hare Lanu Beis Nekudas. Now we have 2 points. Kasher Hakaz Bo Begirmas Adam. When anger comes through another person's cause. There's 2 reasons more to get you angry when another person is doing this. Aleph number 1. Nira La Adam Vesichlo Shaploni Bachar Harlo. According to the victim's intellect, it appears that so-and-so chose to hurt him, as we mentioned. And when somebody chooses to hurt me, doesn't mean it's in my best interest. And base etzem kach the fact that it's an activity engaged with another person. There's another person involved. Yesh kvar yetzer shel milchama negda. There already becomes a new yetzer hara of getting into a fight with somebody. Mikoach midas hagava v'akovod. It comes now. We bring in the attributes of arrogance and honor. And it's me against him. Who's going to be the right guy? Right? When you're pitting one individual against another, so now there's this idea of who's going to win. It's a case of winning. If I lose, that means I was wrong in understanding the situation. And, you know, it's when it's a cow, I have nothing to say. Is it kosher or not kosher? Rabbi, you tell me. I'm not going to get angry at the rabbi. The rabbi knows the halacha. I don't know the halacha. So there's no machoma. I don't come to the rabbi thinking I know the right answer. But when you're in litigation, why are you litigating unless you think you're right? If you don't think you're right, why would you litigate, generally speaking? You know, if it's the kind of shiloh, you know those classic tzaddik shilohs where each tzaddik says the other guy should get the money, right? The other guy should get the money, right? So then if you lose, you don't feel bad. You weren't contending to begin with, right? But here usually it's I'm right and you're wrong. So now the judge says, no, you're wrong and he's right. You lost to the other guy because the other guy was right and you were wrong. So that's a covet issue and we don't like to lose in covet issues, right? You know, people get angry when other people beat them. That's the nature of a people, right? And these are covet issues. You know, they had this past week. I saw in an NBA game, towards the end of a game, a team is creaming the other team, and they're pouring it on. Sechves, the losing team starts to fight. All 10 guys on the floor, all 10, without a yetsi v'klal. Alle Schwarze zusammen, you know, all the guys in the jungle there, they all were hitting on each other, they eject the whole both teams. It's good there were people on the bench. I don't watch it either. I was just reading it. It happened this week. At least I don't know which teams. Who cares? I just read the headline. You know, it's just. You know, like all of them, and these are guys that are paid, you know, probably like $1 million a year, if not more, each, right? And they said, why did you start the fight? He says, they were rubbing it in on us. Well, you're already ahead by 20 points. It's like the last 2-3 minutes of the game, and they're trying. You know, like what are they supposed to do? The fans are paying them $1 million to do that slam dunk, whatever he does. Okay, it's the last of his. We're not gonna play anymore. We're not gonna play anymore, right? I don't know what to do. The guy gave him an elbow, gave him an intentional foul, and the guy gave him back, whatever. You know, because it's, you know, that's the way it is, right? Or, you know, in general, you know, fans in sporting events, you know, will kill in Europe. If the referee makes a bad call, he's finished. He's finished. They'll mamish kill him. I mean, it's not beat him up, kill him. And you always have stories how fans literally kill each other for these things. Because it's the whole idea of beating somebody. It's the whole idea of beating somebody. The covet, you know, people, if you live in a certain city and they win the championship, all of a sudden you feel like you're the greatest person in the world. Exactly. You could be who are these kinds of people? Guys who drink and they go to a sports bar and they're lo yutzluchs. And they're just, you know, oh, now we're on top of the world because our team won the world championship and we're the greatest. What did you do?
Is there anything about his team from that city?
And the people from the team aren't even from that city. Like, right? It's such covet. Oh, we're the greatest. You know, people talk with such pride. No, we got the greatest team. We got the greatest. What did you do to make the greatest team? You know, and you paint your faces blue and white and there's all... Mishkoim, right? But it's competition. And it's covet. And that's what generates, that's what feeds sports. Because it's always the covet issue. We're the better city and they're not the better city. We hate New Yorkers and we're gonna show them New York's a lousy city because all the guys who are not from New York are gonna lose from the guys who maybe are from New York. You know, the other team beats them, they could be from New York. And you know, who is it really? It's George Steinbrenner or whoever the owner is. That's all. It's one guy. You know? So what's the big deal? But people get all excited. If it's competition, they get excited. You know? Especially when it's with guys in guy areas. You do arm wrestling competitions. You know, who's got the strongest wrists and the strongest biceps? It's unbelievable. And if you lose, you get angry. You know, a guy takes another guy's girlfriend away from him, you know, at a date. He waits and waits and shoots them both when they come out of the dance. All these stories, you know, it's momish. It's the end of the world. You come in with a girl and the other guy, the girl goes with another guy. So you gotta kill him. Or it's a Shiloh. He's waiting 2 days later with a shotgun and they're out on a date and boom, he blows the heads off. What can I do? He made me angry. He stole my date. it's a lot for a lot less. And in California, it's just for a parking spot. That's mine. How angry you get? I saw that parking spot first, and you went and hopped that parking spot for me. Get out of there. I'm going to blow your head off because you beat me to it. Right? That's the way it is. It's a natural competitive edge, and people don't like to lose and don't want their cover to go away. So now how are we going to deal with all this? This is a very difficult thing when people do this to you. So tikkun advarim, the repair of this, eina ella al yedei emuna tohora utsurufa, can only be through a pure and refined belief of God. Kasher adam chai bemuna mitis, if you live with real, real belief in Hashem, Legabov a nafkamina klal mehiziko. Regarding him, it doesn't make a difference at all who caused the damage. If it's Evan, a stone, mayim, water, autumn, or a person, or kol davrach, or anything else, it's not a problem. You have no problem. We have to explain why. What is the problem? Rak'i behiris panimius bemuna molida chilukim v'kas. Because a lack of clear, deep belief in God, that causes these differences in this anger. So now in Kuf Chav Gimel, in one short paragraph, he's going to answer all your questions. All right. I don't think we're going to get past Kuf Chav Gimel today. So now, how do we deal with it? How do you deal with somebody causing you to get anger? He has his own free will choice. Okay, maybe we could deal with, you know, the competitive occasion of covetousness of guy, but maybe. But the guy did it on his own. How could it be in my best interest? So we find in the Zohar a beautiful analogy. We're in Kuf Chav Gimel now. Mashal min hakelev, an example from a dog. Shekesher makim es hakelev b'makel. You take a stick and you hit a dog. What's the dog's reaction? Darko shel hakelev larutz achar hamakel v'luchamimo. Who will the dog retaliate against? He'll retaliate against the stick. And he'll fight with the stick. V'zos mechusar hakara she'ikar hamaka eina min hamakel. Because this comes from a lack of recognition that the main force of the hit was not from the stick. El mamisha oiches is hamakel, but from the person who's holding on to the stick. But the dog doesn't have a very good understanding. He only feels and sees the stick hitting him. He can't associate it with the hand that's behind the stick. So let's say the guy drops the stick, he's going to go after the stick and bite the stick all day long, but not the hand that held the stick. He says, that's the way life really is. Kena dover ba'emesalim, this is the way it truly is in this world. Shekola emtsoim harabim v'amikrim harabim v'hein b'nei adam, all those mediums, the multi-mediums and happenings that happen, and whether they are a person or not, hein b'nei adam, hein ena elba v'chines makal b'yiras baruch shemo, all these things are just like on the level of a stick in the hand of God. When your car breaks down, that's the stick in the hand of God. When your friend insults you, it's also a stick in the hand of God, which will have to be explained. V'ala adam lahavin mi'amake. The person has to understand who's the one who's really hitting him. Hamake lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it the stick or is it Hashem? Upam hamakel misra b'tzura shel evan. Sometimes the stick will appear in the form of a stone. Right? Upam b'tzurishal mayim. Sometimes the stick will be water. Upam b'tzurishal adam. And sometimes the stick is going to be in the shape of a human being. Ulam hatzad hashava. But the common denominator between all these situations. Shebechol ha'ifanim yeshrak ksovas echad l'chol inyan. That in all these situations there's only one ksovas. There's only one address to all these concepts, v'hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu bilvad, it is only Hashem. He is the address. Doesn't matter what you're seeing, He is the ultimate address. So the guy wanted to insult you. Who enabled him to insult you? Who gave his mouth the koach to work as he was insulting you? There are people who drop dead in the middle of a sentence. Why couldn't he? Right? In one of the 13 attributes of mercy we talked about in the Ramak. No se'avon. He carries the sin. How does Ramak explain he carries the sin? In other words, when you are sinning, you are using the gifts of God to do your sin, aren't you? God's giving you the strength that your vocal cords work when you're saying Lashon Hara. And you're using God's tools and gifts to sin. And God enables you to do this so that there is free will choice. But if God ultimately did not want this to happen, He'd shut you down. He'd shut you down on the spot. So if God didn't want the guy... God didn't want you to be hurt. he would have made sure the guy wouldn't hurt you. Now, it doesn't have to be that his throat dries up. There's many things that could have happened. He decided to go to this party or to that party. He could have decided to go to a different party. He could have been in a different side of the room. There's so many variables. There's a lot of non-Yerushalayim decisions that led up to that Yerushalayim decision. That's what's critical. The guy stole your parking space. What made the guy decide to go to this plaza instead of the other? He had five errands to do. Why did he choose this errand instead of that one? Instead of being in the Sobeys parking lot, he could have been in the No Frills parking lot at this time, and he was on, you know, he was on one street. He could have gone right or left. That was a non-Yerushalayim decision to put him in this place to take that parking spot. Now, I'm not denying what he did was a Yerushalayim decision. But there was a lot before he had the ability to work his Yerushalayim decision, and the more than that, even the ability to make the Yerushalayim decision was with God's help. Was with God's help. Okay? And more than that, you know, sometimes you open your mouth, you say something stupid, and you don't know, you know, why you said it. You're responsible for it. You are responsible for it, but you don't know why you said it. You said that extra word, just one extra word, and as it's coming out, it's gone. It got out. Right? Now, you did say it. Okay, but you weren't so careful. Normally, you're more careful. Maybe you drank a little bit too much, whatever it is. But in other words, nobody, here is the point. Nobody can harm you if God doesn't want you to be harmed. Because he's watching you. He is watching you. And if you were a person that did not deserve to get that insult, God would make sure you would not get that insult. You know, there's sometimes, you know you're going to meet somebody and you know it's going to be an unpleasant experience, because it's always an unpleasant experience when he comes around your way. And you're ready to get it. And he doesn't say anything. You know why? Not because he loves you, but he was preoccupied with something else. The guys at the party, oh no, he's going to make fun. You know, let's say this guy always makes fun of you being short. Whenever he comes, hi shorty, you know, face. Every time you see him, he just gets at you being short. Right? He says, oh, you're wearing elevator shoes today. All these insults, right? And the guy meets you and he doesn't insult you. Why didn't he insult you? Well, you didn't realize that a couple hours before, the doctor said that he could be very sick and they're going to be taking tests tomorrow. So you know what? He's thinking about his test. He's not thinking about insulting you. So God made sure he wouldn't insult you today. Now, if he didn't hear that bad news, he would insult you. But God didn't want you to get insulted today. He didn't want you to get that. So now God created the scenario that the free-willed being will not bother to want to use his free will choice to hurt you right now, because he's got other things on his mind. So here is what Emunah requires you to do. At the one hand, the guy has a free will choice. But on the other hand, Hashem would never allow someone's free will choice to hurt you if you're not supposed to be hurt from it. Or let's say, or better, the guy, whoever he sees at the party is going to insult. It depends who was first. And you were lucky you came late to the party and somebody else came earlier. So he got all his insulting out on the first guy. Because that guy got wanted to have a little pain today, and you, he didn't want to have your pain today. So we have to be able to balance this concept that on the one hand, there is free will choice, but no matter what that person would want to do, God could make sure that you don't have to be the recipient of the pain that he wants to inflict on you, because there is still a realm of non-Yerushalayim decisions that will set the stage to determine which Yerushalayim decisions are going to be made at which particular time and upon whom. Now, this goes ad kidei kach, so far, you know, this would include a Holocaust as well. This would include a Holocaust as well. And if you really think about it, what is the issue for Holocaust survivors? You know, what is the nekuda? Where is the success or failure of Holocaust survivors in their relationship with Hashem in this area, right? it's usually not an issue of believing or not believing in Hashem. It's not like the guy was a believer in God before the Holocaust, and after the Holocaust he's a non-believer. That's not what it is. Rather, it's an issue of betrayal. If the guy did not believe in God before the Holocaust, he's not going to believe in him after the Holocaust. And if he believed in him before the Holocaust, he still believes in God, but he feels betrayed by God. Because as a child, they were trained and told that God loves us. So if God loves us, how could he do that to me? And people say it even stronger. They say, you know, and if you're going to say, well, it was discipline and this and that, they're going to say, listen, I've disciplined people, but I never killed their babies in disciplining them. I don't put people through such torture, you know, as a loving God. And that's their real problem. They're disappointed in Hashem. But Hashem didn't stop things. And then their question is, well, maybe Hashem isn't as strong as I thought he was. You know, so yeah, but the truth is, you never really thought he was that strong to begin with. You never thought he was that strong to begin with, right? And the truth of the matter is, if a person really had strong emunah before the Holocaust, like Rabbi Tauber always mentions, he says he came out of the Holocaust with more belief in God. Because he really saw how the words of the Torah came true. The words of the Teicha, the words of the rebuke came true, chapter and verse, exactly as God said it would if people don't listen to Hashem. So that's the real issue. Now, the people say, what? What are you saying? So the Nazis aren't guilty? The point he's got to realize that this is the part people cannot believe. You tell them, the 6 million Jews died because God wanted them to die. And that's the emes. That's the emes. For whatever reason that we will not know why, it was in the best interest of those people and the history of the Jewish people that 6 million should die. Because there's no way Hitler is stronger than God. We've seen enough stories in Jewish history where God was stronger than the enemies of the Jews. You saw it with Paro, you saw it with Haman, you saw it in the Hanukkah story. I mean, what's the real celebration of Hanukkah? To celebrate that God is in control. So if God is in control, then who brought, just like God saved you from the Greeks, God put you into the hands of the Nazis. It can't be no other way. It can't be no other way. Does it mean that the Nazis are now exonerated? Because then people come back, oh, that means they're not, no, they are responsible. They are responsible. They're all Rishoyim. And they are responsible and they're burning in hell as we speak. But if God didn't want the Jews to be killed, no matter how hard the Nazis tried, they wouldn't do it. But what is God? God deemed that the Jews, 6 million, have to die. The only question was, who's going to volunteer? Who's going to volunteer? You need a volunteer. A volunteer will come up. They'll use their free will choice. Only God can hold all that. God can hold that in his pocket. So, you know, getting all excited that Iran is saying that making a Holocaust denial conference. So you're protesting against him? Foolish people. You're protesting against him? He's just a stick. He's just a stick. He's Hashem's stick. Hashem is giving him the power to do this. So now we're all going to go and make a big rally against him? Foolish people. These are non-Torah based people. They don't understand Torah. So so your great leaders in Toronto, they're like the dog. They're like a dog. And that's Mamish the Emes. I didn't say this. Chazal said it. Chazal said that the leaders of the Jewish people before Yemaseh Mashiach will be like dogs. They'll be the face of a dog. So there's a lot of interpretations. The first shot, the famous one you know, is, you know, when a dog is running in front of a car, you think the dog is leading the car, but he's always looking to see which direction the car is going to lead it. The leaders are, what's public opinion say? So that's what I'll say, and I'll lead you based on what you want. But now we have a deeper shot. Like the face of the dog, like a dog. The dog only goes after the stick and doesn't go after the hand that's with the stick. When that Russia and Iran is getting people to say the Holocaust didn't exist, it's because Hashem wants him to. Hashem wants him to. Hashem wants you wants you to realize that there's somebody who has the potential to destroy you. So what should be happening is there should be thousands of Jews pouring out to do tshuva.
Tshuva.
That's what it is. Hashem, you're giving us a warning. Thank you. And we should be trying to get closer to you. And not closer to being, whatever we think is cool and this is what you want. He's a Russia, but who are aligning themselves with this Russia? All the people you want to curry favor with. All those Europeans, all those people. I still don't get it. Why would a Jew want to go to Europe for a vacation? I don't get it. I just don't get it. You want to explain it to me? Like, you're out of your mind? What is there to see already? Culture? What do you want? I have to see the Eiffel Tower. I have to see the Louvre. What are you seeing? What do you have to see? What is it they have that is of interest to you? Beauty? Beauty that's soaked with your parents' blood? If not your parents, your grandparents, your great parents' blood? What do you have to, there's something that you revere? You have to spend your money on a vacation to go to such a place? I have to wear the styles that they make from France? And they'll dictate my life? Hashem says, you want them to dictate your life? I'll show you what they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you the Holocaust never happened. And then when Iran, God forbid, send atomic bombs on Israel, they'll be all singing in the streets. That's what God wants you to hear when there's such an event going on. Because that's the stick. You don't think God... there's so much chaos in the Middle East that guy has to be on top and they're not overthrowing him. God is leading him. That's what Hitler said in his own writings. When he made his speeches, he said, I feel that God is leading me. I go blindly with God leading me. Hitler understood more than we understand he understood. Hitler knew he was a nobody. He knew he was a nobody, but he knew that God was giving him all the breaks, so why not take advantage of that? Right? So you gotta learn that it is the stick. That Hashem is letting do all those things. Right? Now, of course, there are Rishoyim in Iran and there are Rishoyim in Europe and they're all gonna pay for this, but that's the way it is. We learned in last week's parsha. Halachahi, Esav soina leYaakov. It's a law. Esav hates Yaakov. Like, people don't like this idea. Non-Jews hate Jews. Finished. Rashi says it, Chazal said, you can do what you want to do, you're not going to change that rule of nature. Bnei Esav, hate Jews. Western society hates Jews. Get it in your head. And you're not smarter than Rashi, and you're not smarter than Chazal, and no matter how much they come to you with love and peace, they hate you. And they want to destroy you, either physically or destroy your neshamas. They're doing a good job of destroying our neshamas in Canada. A real good job. So get it straight. So now they get to make a conference. You're surprised? I'm shocked. They're going to go to a rally to protest against them. We're going to go to a rally to go and attack the stick. Like a bunch of morons. When you know that Hashem is there, so why don't you go to a rally, go to Hashem, and go daven to Hashem, and go talk to the one who's holding on to the stick? Because we don't understand. We don't have any emun in Hashem. We have no emun in Hashem. And that's why they're gonna be upset when they found that I didn't support the rally. Besides the fact they held it in a Reform temple, which an Orthodox Jew can't go into. Why did they make the event in a Reform place? You have no sensitivity. Orthodox people aren't going to go to a Reform place. It's not a service. It doesn't matter. It's still a base avodah zarah. Straight out. These are people who don't believe in God. A Reform Jew understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here? How much do you expect from a Reform Jew to understand? They decide everything. They decide what kind of God to serve. So, of course, they're like a dog who's going after the stick. So now if you, as an Orthodox Jew, dare step your foot in that place... Dare step your foot in that place. That means you're associating with those dogs. Mentally. That don't see the Yad of Hashem. And what do you think, what kind of speeches are going to be over there? Yeah, we're going to stop them. Oh, yeah, you're going to stop them. You're going to stop the whole world to see the right of what you want to do. Idiots. There's only one way you could stop it, the way we always knew. What did Yehuda Maccabee do before he went to battle? Oh, we're the greatest soldiers in the world. All 300 of us are going to beat the whole Greek army, yeah? We went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mamash Hashem, you have to save us. That's the difference. That's how it plays out in real life. All right, we got to stop or we're not going to dominate at all today. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.